So it's really good to be looking at this topic again around mission, because I know it's something that's really important for the church at the moment. It's a direction that you've been moving in for a long time now, and it's quite exciting to be actually talking about it and thinking about what it might look for us and what it might look like for us as a community as we move into the next months and year. So I'm just going to do a quick recap from last time. Really as a reminder for those of us that are here, and some of us might not have been as well, but it's just really helpful because it's a good sort of foundation for some of our discussions today. So I'm going to pop the slides up if that's okay, Mariam. So I asked us to talk about a few questions about mission last time, and we talked about what we thought mission wasn't, just to start with. So you might want to have a quick look at some of these. You might recognise some of the things that we talked about in our small groups. So we don't think mission is necessarily about just going abroad, although that is part of mission. We don't think it's brainwashing or a chore. We think it's not. We don't think it's irrelevant. And there were some really interesting things we talked about the fact that we think it's about God working through us. It's not necessarily about us. It's not about expecting people to come to us on our terms, but for us to go to them. And it's not necessarily about being nice or having big religious meetings or preaching or browbeating or being critical. So that's a really helpful starting point. We know what it isn't, but let's have a look at what we thought it was. So this is the next slide. So I don't know if you've seen these before. They're called Wordles. You might have had a go at making them. They're quite good fun. But basically, the words that are the biggest are the ones that have been mentioned the most. So the smaller words might have been maybe mentioned by one person. But have a look at some of the bigger words that we decided together when we were talking. There's some great words in there, isn't there? It's about compassion and obedience. It's about going. It's about others. It's about being relevant. It's about coming alongside. It's about sharing, explaining, joyful. There's loads of wonderful words there, isn't there, about what we think mission is. And that's really helpful as we carry on with our discussion, holding that in our mind as we have further discussion together as a community. The other thing we did was we also reminded ourselves of the vision that we had as a church. So we're going to pop that up as well. This is on our website. Again, a bit of a reminder. This is where we want to be as we move forward into the next year. We want to be a fruitful community that's rooted in God's love. And we've already started to talk about that this morning, about the deep love that God has for us and for those around us. We want to be faithful to the Bible. And we want to be equipped by God's Spirit to share something that we believe is life-changing, that's good news for all people. So that's the vision that we have. The other thing you might remember, we also had a discussion about culture, and I've had quite a lot of interesting discussions with people since our last session of talking about this. So I'll pop the other picture up. I don't know if you remember this. We talked about how culture is so important. And when I'm talking about culture, I think another Christian leader talked about it. It's basically the way that we do things around here. That's what culture means, the way that we do things around here. And that's really important, because if we don't work out our culture and our values, then all the plans that we make, all the strategies, well, the saying is that culture eats strategy for breakfast. It won't make any difference if we don't really work out our deep values and why we're doing this and what's motivating us to do this. And so there's an interesting discussion to have about what is our culture and what is our values. And then finally, we looked at a passage that, I know people have been thinking quite deeply about. We looked at that wonderful discussion between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well in John. And we noticed how it was a conversation that Jesus had with her that radically changed her life in such a way that she just couldn't help herself. she had to go and share it with other people. And then finally, we finished by talking about what it means for us to be able to do that in our own lives. All the places that we go into, everyday places, or sometimes called frontline places, during the week when we're out and about. And that's the final one, just as a recap. These are all the places that we noticed or we talked about where we're involved in during the week, where we're out and about, we have friendships, people that we love and care about, that we can share our faith with. There's some great ones. There's obviously lots of dog walkers in the church, because that came up quite high. But shopping and the post office that we have here, for example, the coffee shop came up a lot. A lot of people talked about that in their groups. Family was another big one. Our neighbours are all places where we can share our faith and talk about Jesus. So we're going to do a little bit more discussion today, and we're going to think about some of the challenges and what it means to share our faith, and as we do it together as a church family. So I'm going to get you to group round your tables again. We're going to have a bit of a discussion about this, and we've got a question to think about. I want you to have a little think about maybe some of the barriers that you feel are there. So as I'm talking to you about what it means to be missional, sharing faith, talking about what happens here in church, for example, what things do you find are barriers? And they could be personal. They could be some of the challenges that we face as a Christian community, for example. They can be any barriers that you think make it difficult to do this. So I'm going to give us about 5 minutes to do that. Can I ask you to pop a scribe in your group and so that we can have a little bit of feedback? It's really helpful, because I think it shows that there's challenges at lots of different levels, isn't there? There's personal challenges, there's experience challenges, there's what's happening for the person that we're talking to, our own things that we're fearful and fearful of, and also some of the wider conversations that are going on in our culture, all those things we're speaking into, and then what words do we use? How do we articulate and share, talk about the things that are important and that bring life and transformation to people and our communities that we're in? This is a real challenge for us, isn't it? But it's an exciting one, because as we move on into the rest of the workshop, we're going to talk about how wonderful this good news is that we have to share. There is the challenge of being fearful, but the other side of it is that there's also something really wonderful. It's like a present, a gift that we have to give to people, or that we can share and communicate to people that we care, that we know, that we love. And that's the kind of flip side, I guess, to some of the things that we find more difficult. And we're going to actually look at a passage now. We're going to look at another conversation that Jesus had, which was slightly different to the woman at the well, and just see what happens. So I'm going to pass to Christine, who's going to come up and read that to us. Thanks, Christine. She's going to read from Mark 2, if you want to find it. It's 1 to 12, and it's on the screen as well.
Yes, the reading today comes from Mark 2, 1 to 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk?' But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this."
Thank you very much.
This is another great conversation, isn't it, to listen into. So we listened to the woman at the well from John last time. And this is another conversation that I felt would be really helpful for us to think about, particularly as we think about barriers and some of the challenges to sharing faith and to moving out, to feel more confident and less fearful in this area. Because it is a real challenge, isn't it? Paul last week talked to us about how it's so much easier to stay safe in our comfort zones, to stay in the boat and not to step out. So some of the stuff we're talking about, it does stretch us. It is faith stretching. Sometimes it's just hard work. And I know one of the groups last week was talking about what it means to stay awake. And a couple of Sundays ago, we were talking about the parable of the weeds and the challenge of actually staying awake and what's actually happening and keeping alert. And then we've got all the barriers that we've been talking about this morning. And in fact, the people in our story that we've just heard, they had a lot of barriers, didn't they, to face. They had this precious friend, this really valuable friend that they knew had a need, and they longed for his life to change. And they knew that if they brought this man, their friend, to Jesus, that it would be life-changing for him, that it would make all the difference. And that was in their heart, that was their vision, that was the starting point. It was love and relationship that brought them to do this act of bringing their friend to Jesus. But I don't know if you noticed in the story, there's two groups in the crowd here. First of all, you've got the everyday people, and they're flocking all around, they're pressing into Jesus. They want to know Jesus for themselves. And of course, there's nothing wrong with that at all, is there? That's a really good thing to aspire to come to Jesus for yourself and to listen to him and to grow and to discover him. But there was this small group of people that were really different. They were literally people carriers. They were a person carriers. They carried their friend. They weren't there primarily for their own benefit. They were there because they wanted to take their friend to Jesus. It was their priority. It was their focus and it was their goal. And they shared that together as a group to carry their friends to Jesus. And it wasn't something they just spoke about. They actually did it, and they did it in a really practical way. Yet they faced some barriers, didn't they, when they came to do this. It was a great plan. They had a really good idea. But then when they actually got to it, they realised there was quite a lot of challenges to actually bringing their friend to Jesus. First of all, they had this massive crowd that was in front of them that they couldn't get through. It must have felt impossible for them. I kind of imagine them sort of standing on the edge with the friends, trying to work out how on earth are we going to get past all these barriers. But that didn't deter them. They saw the obstacles and they started to think quite creatively. And the first thing they did, if you notice, was this is a story about teamwork. It isn't about individuals. It's about a team of people that have committed together to carry their friend to Jesus. So that must have involved a little bit of organising. I'm sure they had an agreed plan. They probably had to chat about it and work out what they were going to do. There was a bit of decision making that went on. I'm sure there was people that had different roles in the plan. And if you notice from the story, it wasn't just about the four people that did the carrying. There was a group of them. There were other people that were also helping in the process. So maybe there was the person that was the planner, the organiser. They had a couple of people that had the strength, and they were the ones that did the carrying. There might have been others that were trying to get the crowd to move across and to move forward. And we don't know about this group of people. We don't know who they were. They might have been neighbours from a street. It might have been a neighbourhood friend that they brought. It could have been a group of work colleagues that decided they were going to bring their work colleague. It could have been a family that brought a family member to Jesus. But they worked together, they had a plan, and then they broke through the roof. That's quite an amazing thing, isn't it? Can you imagine what it must have been like for Jesus? There's this wonderful picture talking to people, and all of a sudden there's a little crack, a bit of dust comes down, a hand comes through, more bits start. And he must have wondered what was going on. Because they came up with this mad genius plan, didn't they? Mm. They didn't let the obstacles stop them. they decided that they were going to think creatively and they were going to go around the barriers and they were going to go through in a different way. Really creative, and it was appropriate for that moment, that place, that time, to do it in that way. They had a roof strategy and it worked. And it didn't just work, it was fantastic. It got their friend right in front of Jesus and he could see the friend. And Jesus was then able to minister and to meet. The friend was able to meet with Jesus who was there. The other thing that I thought about with this story, there must have been a lot of trust that went on between the man and the group of friends. Because it's quite a big thing, isn't it, to be on a, if you can't walk and you're not able to move, to really trust those that are with you to lift you safely down through the roof. So this was about relationship. It was about care and love that that group of people had for one another that was reciprocated between the man and the group of friends. So some really helpful things for us to think about. Are we people carriers or are we the crowd? It's quite thought-provoking, isn't it? Are we people carriers or are we the mass, the crowd? And I found that quite challenging when I was thinking about that. And as we're thinking about this as a community, how are we approaching this challenge, this desire for these precious people that we want to come and meet Jesus? How are we doing it? Are we doing it as a team? Do we have a focus and a plan that we're going to move towards? And then that wonderful challenge about it being, it can be quite mad and genius. It doesn't have to be the ordinary, everyday ways of bringing people to Jesus. There's a few things to think in there. I also just wanted to make a few comments about the conversation that Jesus had with the man, because that's also really interesting, and I think we can learn quite a lot from the conversation. First of all, it's interesting to think about how Jesus talked about to this man in a very different way to the woman at the well. It wasn't like a prescribed format. He spoke directly to this person, and it is actually very direct. It's much more direct than the conversation that he had with the woman. And it's a wonderful example of how Jesus responded to the individual person and their needs and where they were at. And he responded in a way that was helpful and enabled them to move forward. And he started off by going in at the spiritual level. We just talked about how challenging that can be. But for this man, it was really important. There was things in his life. There was sin. There was things that he'd choices he'd made, maybe relationships that he'd made. There was things in his life that had taken him away from God. And Jesus didn't address the physical thing initially. He came in and talked about the spiritual need for this man and addressed that and brought forgiveness. I mean, that must have been an amazing point for that man. First of all, to meet Jesus face to face, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? But then for Jesus to turn to him so directly and say, the things that are dark and holding you back, you're free from them, you're forgiven. I mean, how wonderful must have that been for the man? But then Jesus also then addressed the physical need. Both things came together and Jesus healed him in this wonderful way. And I think that's really helpful for us to remember that Jesus responded in a practical way. He immediately responded and he also addressed the spiritual needs. And the outcome of it was that the man was restored. He was restored physically and he was also restored spiritually in his relationship with God. So it's a really good and helpful example of a conversation that we can learn from, you know, when we're talking to friends. We're going to have one more slot now. We're going to do this fairly quickly, just I'm mindful of the time. We've got a couple of things to think about for our next discussion. And what I'd like you to do is maybe just choose one of them, one that you're particularly interested in as a group, and just talk it through. So there's a few things that this story challenges us to think about. So is that question about, are we people carriers? And how do we actually do this? That's quite an interesting thing to think about. Something about our friendships. This is maybe a little bit more personal, but are our friendships formed by trust? And are we motivated? Is our vision, our value for sharing our faith motivated because we want to bless and to benefit others? And then, again, personal, you might want to talk about some of the needs of your friends and the people that you care about, because Jesus came in at that level. And there's something about obstacles. If you've talked about some of the obstacles, you might want to talk about how we address some of these. So maybe just choose one of the questions and talk it through. But some of these things are quite key, and we need to be thinking about them as we go forward, because it's out of some of this discussion that our vision for where we're going to go forward as we want to bless others, it will come out of some of these discussions that we have as a community around the needs of the people, you know, our friends and neighbours in our village, what it means for them, and what our response should be. So go back into your groups, choose a question and just have a discussion. And then hopefully there'll be a mixture across the church, and then we can share from each of the group at the end. So we just again got... Yeah, thanks, Eileen. That's a really helpful example. So Eileen's just talked about some of the discussion that's going on around at the moment around some of the seniors ministry, but particularly looking at addressing some very practical needs for some of our community that are feeling vulnerable and what that might look like. Some really practical, helpful, bringing some resources in to help us with that and think. And I think this is the type of discussion that we need to start moving on to as we begin to build our vision of what this might look like, some of the values and culture that we've talked about today, and then how that then helps us to actually practically move forward in a way that's helpful. So that's a really good sort of helpful example of some discussion. And I would really encourage us across the church to start having these discussions in small groups and around with friends and people that we're connected with, thinking about things that we just feel are really important, that we feel can bless people. And what would be really interesting will be to see if you then talk to someone else who feels like that and someone else that feels like that, then we're starting to get a bit of traction with some ideas of things that we can begin to grow that will be a blessing, an opportunity for us to build friendships and share faith with people. So that's our kind of starting point. But thank you for that. I don't know if anyone wants to add anything else. But it's been a really helpful discussion this morning, some things that we can grow and build on. Brilliant. I think what we'll do is we'll come together now and bring our time of worship and discussion and thinking to an end. And we're going to just finish by singing together our final song. I hope you find these words really helpful. They pick up a lot on the things that we've been talking about. It's everyone needs compassion.